All right, I want to read to you tonight a few verses out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And this is a familiar part of the Christmas story, but I want to focus on one word tonight. I want to build my thoughts around just one word tonight. In verse 8 of chapter 2, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and in verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, now watch carefully here, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, there you will notice are several titles that have been given to the Lord in the Bible. In this one verse, we see the word Christ. All right, that word means Messiah. It technically, the word translates anointed one, the anointed one. And that is a reference to all of the prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures concerning the coming Messiah. And so you'll notice Messiah, but then also notice that there is a little word here that identifies the Lord Jesus, and that is the word Savior. Savior. Not only is the Lord Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, but our Savior, the Lord Jesus, came as our Savior. Now, that's real important, and that's what I want to focus on this evening in the message. There, the last word over there in that verse 11, says that Christ, the Lord, the Master, all right, Elohim, he is the Lord. You remember that John saw Jesus coming back at his second coming, and he identified him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right, so we have all of these three different titles all in one verse. Now, what I want to focus on this evening is that little word, Savior. All right, let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to bless and help us tonight, and then the message. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful music we have heard, and I pray now that you will bless as we open your precious word. Father, I need your help tonight as I speak. I want to be a blessing and an encouragement. I want to give folks a message of hope and gladness and help them to see that there is more to life than just this old, ugly world we live in. And so, Father, I pray you'll help me, and I pray you'll bless folks as they listen. And may we leave here tonight rejoicing in what we have allowed you to do in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. A Savior. Isn't that exactly what the world needs? I mean, this world is a mess, is it not? No matter which way you look at our world today, this world is a mess. If we were to go down to the city of Baltimore and we were to walk the streets of downtown, we would not dare do it alone, by the way. And we would probably feel a little bit better about doing it inside the safety of an automobile. And certainly, if we did that, we would not want to make eye contact with anybody that we came upon. But we would go away from there thinking to ourselves, man, Baltimore needs a savior. Now look at it and that's true. I mean, Baltimore does need a savior. But let's go over to Carroll County Hospital for just a moment. And suppose we were to walk in and go room to room. And it would take us hours upon hours to just simply go from room to room and checking out everybody that's in the hospital. We would see doctors, we would see nurses, we would see technicians, we would see janitors, we would see, of course, patients. And as the day would wind down, we would walk out of that hospital and we would simply just pause and think to ourselves and say, wow, everyone in this hospital needs the Savior. You see, we all need a Savior. It's not just one guy here or one lady there. No, the simple truth of the matter is we all need a Savior. I mean, it's as clear as the nose on your face that the whole reason for celebrating Christmas is the fact that God sent His Son to be our Savior. That's what it's all about. Oh, we enjoy the decorations and we enjoy the food and we enjoy the fellowship and the parties and all that stuff. We enjoy it all. But folks, the bottom line is Christmas is all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And all men need a Savior. You take the whole of society, and from the North Pole to the South Pole and all the way around, everyone needs the Savior that God sent to Bethlehem's manger on that night 2,000 years ago. Now, the world did not, and I don't think it does still today, need an advisor. You with me on that? I mean, there's been a lot of those, haven't there? A lot of advisors. We don't need an advisor. They're a dime a dozen. No, we need a Savior. You see, the world does not need a better educator or a great philosopher. Man, the world's had plenty of those. No, the world needs a Savior. The world does not need a reformer. We've had plenty of those through the centuries. But the world does not need a reformer. We have had many reformers just in our lifetime. But where has it gotten us? We are still a world that is in desperate need of a Savior. And folks, that is why God sent His only begotten Son into this world. And I submit to you that the whole purpose for Christmas is the birth of our Savior. I needed a Savior. Oh, by the way, you need a Savior as well. I need one because I'm a sinner. Don't say amen right there. All right? I'm a sinner. Don't say amen, because I'm going to say something next, and then I'll say amen after I say what I'm about to say. I'm a sinner. I needed a Savior. But wait a minute. You're a sinner too. We're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. So all of us are in need of a Savior tonight. Now, the angel said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, what is implied with the use of that word? We all know who the Bible is referencing here, don't we? We all know that the angels speaking to the shepherds were speaking about Jesus, God's only begotten Son. There's no doubt about that. But notice that the angels referred to Jesus as our Savior. Our Savior. Now, what is implied there? Well, I want to take a few minutes tonight, and I would like to show you what, in my opinion, the angels were saying to those shepherds. Three things. First of all, it implies, they said a Savior, and that word, a Savior, implies our sinfulness. It implies our helplessness, if you will. You see, we can't save ourselves from sin. We just can't. You say, well, Pastor, why don't you save us? I can't save you. You see, I'm a sinner just like you are. So I can't very well save you. But the Lord can. And when he was born, the angels said to the shepherds that the Savior had been born. Now, we know who they were talking about, don't we? They were talking about the Lord Jesus. And so, what does that term imply? Well, it implies our sinfulness and our helplessness. You see, if a man is drowning, he doesn't need someone to pull up beside of him in a boat and give him a lesson on the metaphysics of keeping 200 pounds afloat in the water. All right? He doesn't need a lecture on that. No, he needs a Savior. He's about to die. And somebody needs to come along and offer him a hand and pull him out. That's what's implied here, folks, that we need help. I mean, this fellow who's drowning, he doesn't need an object lesson shown to him on how to put on a life vest. He doesn't need that. He's drowning. He is in desperate need, and he simply needs for someone with a strong hand to reach down and take a hold of him in the water and then pull him to safety. And this is the way it is with mankind. This is the way it is with us. You see, we have a problem, don't we? It's called sin. And a Savior implies that we have a need. Folks, it was God who called him a Savior. Now, Listen, God knows what we need. Would you agree to that? Certainly we would agree to that. So a Savior implies that we have a need. It implies that we need help. And so God provided us the help that we need. You know, the need of man is universal. Everyone needs the Savior. It doesn't matter if you are living in a mansion or living under a bridge. All men need the Savior. It doesn't matter if you are educated or if you dropped out of grade school at 23. It doesn't matter. We all have need of the Savior. It doesn't matter if you are red or yellow or black or white or brown or any shade in between. All men need the Savior. We all need the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And the need that we have for this Savior is so the Savior can save us from sin. That's not complicated, is it? Folks, I'm trying to get you to see how simple the need that we have is and how simply God provided for our need. All right, look at the verse again. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior." Now that's pretty clear. So when the angels said that to the shepherds, it implies that we need help. You see, we need help because we need the Savior to save us from sin. You say, well, if we're all sinners, then what's the problem with sin? Well, here's the problem with it. God says that the wages of sin is death. You see, what we get paid for, sin is death. Now, I have taught our folks here at the church of the Open Door, I've taught our folks that if you take that word death and you run it all the way through the Bible, you end up over in the book of the Revelation. And in chapter 20. And when you get over to chapter 20, what you learn there is the fact that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Now, you all know what the first death is. We've all seen death all our lives, haven't we? Yeah, the first death is a physical death. But there is a second death, God says. And that second death is a spiritual death. And that's why we all need the Savior to save us, so that we do not have to die spiritually. Because spiritual death, that verse goes on to say that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Whoa, you don't want that. Nobody should want that. So that's why the Savior came. You see, folks, we're sinners, and the Bible says that as sinners, we are in need of a Savior, and that is why God sent His only begotten Son into this world on that very first Christmas night. Amen. Our Savior, our Redeemer, our Savior. You know, a Savior also implies our utter helplessness. You know, the amazing thing, I've met people who have said, I'm trying to get to heaven. You are? Yeah, well, what are you doing? Well, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Well, you know, you can climb that ladder all you want, but you're never going to get to the top of that ladder. There is absolutely no way that any of us could ever earn our way to heaven. Not a one of us deserved to go to heaven. Not a one. You say, well, then, Pastor, if we are helpless, then, you know, how in the world are we going to get saved from our sin? Well, that's where the Savior comes in. He saves us. Not we save ourselves. I've talked to folks and say, and have asked them, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And they'll say, well, I sure hope so. Well, the Bible says that salvation is a no-so. It's not a hope-so. All right? I want everybody to just take a second here. Look up here. You are looking at an individual who knows with every fiber of my being, I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. You say, well, how can you know that? Because the Bible says that there is a Savior. And I was presented with that Savior one day, and it was showed to me in the Bible that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I called upon the name of the Lord and asked him to save me. And you know what? He did. He did. Now, by an amen, how many of you have asked the Lord Jesus, the Savior, to save you? Say amen. Amen. You see how simple it is? It's not difficult. You say, well, Pastor, what do I have to do? You don't have to do anything but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just put your faith and trust in Him. It's not going to do you any good to trust me. I can't get you there. It's not going to do any good for you to put your faith in the Church of the Open Door. The Church of the Open Door can't get you there. But the Savior can. The Savior can. So this statement implies that we're helpless. But thank God, God understood that. And that's why He sent us the Savior. Second thing, it implies the essence, this word, this term, Savior, implies the essence of the gospel. The gospel. Man, I love that word, don't you? The gospel of Christ. Let me talk to you for a moment about this gospel. You see, when the Lord Jesus came, it was said of Him that He came as the Savior. Here's the neat thing. He claimed to be the Savior of the world. Did you hear that? He said that He was the Savior of mankind. He did not hint at it. No, He outright said that He came to save sinners. That's why He came to this world. All right, He adamantly declared that He was our Savior. He then gathered His disciples around Him, and He told them that they were to go around the world and preach the gospel message. All right, go and preach the gospel. Now, question, What is his gospel? What is his gospel? All right, now I want you to listen very carefully here. You talk about a word that has, in the last 50 years, been dragged through the mud and stomped on. It is this great Bible word, gospel. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and it's going to shock some of you, but I'm going to make this statement, and then I'm going to explain to you what the gospel is. In our world today, it has been beaten down our throats that the word gospel means good news. Now, how many of you have heard that? You've heard that, haven't you? Oh, the gospel means good news. No, it doesn't. Oh, yeah, I heard it did. I'm sorry, but it doesn't. It does not mean good news. Now, wait a minute. It is good news. But that's not what the word gospel means. You say, well, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, I'm sure that you've heard preachers tell you that the word gospel simply means good news. Well, it doesn't, folks. And all of these, you say, well, then where'd that come from? All these Bible, New Bible translations, that's where it came from. That's where it came from. You know, the Bible has its own built-in dictionary. And the Bible shows us in the context what a word means, the King James Version of the Bible. Should you sit down with a King James Bible and read the Bible, and this is one I hear all the time, well, I can't understand the Bible. Yes, you can. The King James Bible was written on a fifth grade level. You can understand it. Well, there's words there I don't understand. That's why I'm telling you that in your Bible, there is a built-in dictionary. And if you don't understand a word, you just look at the context. You can't find it in the context, look in the paragraph. You can't find the answer in the paragraph, look in the whole chapter. But it's there somewhere. It's there somewhere. The Bible has its own built-in dictionary. Now, let me help you with this word gospel. The word gospel is from two Anglo-Saxon words. All right? Notice what I said. I did not say Greek words. Okay? Nod your heads. Yeah, I didn't say Greek words. It's from two Anglo-Saxon words. You know what Anglo-Saxon is, right? English. All right? It's English. And the word gospel comes from two words. The first word is the word gos, G-O-S. And in the Oxford English Dictionary, that dictionary tells you that is God. G-O-S is God. And then spell, well, we all know what spelling is, right? We have this thing called an alphabet. Starts with an A and it ends with a Z. And then in between are all these letters. And they all have sounds. And we take those letters and we make words. All right? Can I get an amen right there? You know it's true, don't you? Sure. I'm not trying to trick you, folks. I'm trying to help you. Now, Here's what the word gospel means. It means God's word. This is the gospel. This right here is the gospel. The Bible is the gospel. I have told our folks many times through the years how that the Lord Jesus is in every book of our Bible, starting in Genesis and going all the way to the book of the Revelation. Jesus is everywhere in the Bible. Let me explain it to you. All right. First of all, Genesis. In Genesis, Jesus is the enmity. In Exodus, Jesus is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our great high priest. In Numbers, Jesus is the brazen serpent and the cure for the curse of sin. In Deuteronomy, he is the lawgiver. In Joshua, he is the captain of my salvation. In Judges, he is the deliverer. In Ruth, Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 Samuel, he is the promise of a throne. In 2 Samuel, he is the establishment of that throne. In 1 Kings, he is the still small voice. In 2 Kings, he is the cure for the leprosy of sin. In 1 Chronicles, he is the genealogy of mankind. In 2 Chronicles, he is the author of revival. In Ezra, he is the ready scribe. In Nehemiah, the comforter of the people. In Esther, he is the sovereign deliverer. In Job, he is the living redeemer. In Psalm, the book of the Psalms, he is the song of God. In Proverbs, he is the wisdom of God. In Ecclesiastes, he is the answer to vanity. In Song of Solomon, he is the lover of my soul. In Isaiah, he is the Savior born of a virgin. In Jeremiah, he is the God of judgment. In Lamentations, he is weeping over man's rejection. In Ezekiel, he is a flaming wheel. In Daniel, he is the stone rolling down the mountain. In Hosea, he is the forgiving and loving husband. In Joel, he is the Lord of life. In Amos, he is the basket of summer fruit. In Obadiah, he is the victory upon Mount Zion. In Jonah, he is the protection from adversity. In Micah, he is the ruler from Bethlehem. In Nahum, he is the consolation of God. In Habakkuk, he is the sovereign judge. In Zephaniah, he is the sacrifice. In Haggai, he is the glory that filled the temple. In Zechariah, he is holiness unto the Lord. In Malachi, he is the message and the son of righteousness. That's just the Old Testament, folks. In Matthew, he is the king. In Mark, he is the servant. In Luke, he is the son of man. In John, he is the son of God. In Acts, he is the gospel spread around the world. In Romans, he is the power of God unto salvation. In 1 Corinthians, he's the master builder. In 2 Corinthians, he is the God of all comfort. In Galatians, he redeems us from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he is the grace of God. In Philippians, he is the joy of God. In Colossians, he is the preeminent one. In 1 Thessalonians, he is coming as a thief in the night. In 2 Thessalonians, he is the destroyer of the wicked one. In 1 Timothy, he is our living example. In 2 Timothy, he is the inspired, inerrant word of the living God. In Titus, he is the way of regeneration. In Philemon, he is the emancipator. In Hebrews, he is the superior one, the better one. In James, he is the object of our faith. In 1 Peter, he is the precious one. In 2 Peter, he is the great God with promises of his return. In 1 John, he is our advocate. In 2 John, he is the elect of God. In 3 John, he is the faithful witness. In the book of Jude, he is the only wise God. And in Revelation, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, folks, if he's all these things, don't you think we ought to focus our attention upon what God focuses his attention? And that's the Savior. Now, the question is, do you know him? Do you know him? That's what Christmas is all about. If you do not know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you can make Christmas 2024 the absolute greatest Christmas that you've ever experienced by trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for just a moment. Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. Do you know this wonderful Savior? I want you to think about this question I'm going to ask you. All right? Answer it in your heart. You don't have to answer it aloud. Just answer it in your heart. If something were to happen to me, God forbid, and I should go out into eternity, do I know for sure, 100% for sure, that I'm going to heaven? And my friend, if you do not know that for sure, you need the Savior. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's how the Savior saves our souls. By us believing in him. Folks, why Christmas? Why Christmas? Well, we're celebrating the day the Savior came. I think that's worth celebrating, don't you? I certainly do. But ask yourself, am I sure I'm going to heaven? And my dear friend, if you're not 100% sure, I want you to know there's no greater opportunity than the opportunity you have right now sitting here for you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, our Savior. For unto you is born this day a Savior. Is he your Savior? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed and no one looking around, if you're not sure, would you like to receive the Savior right where you're seated tonight? Would you like to ask the Lord Jesus to save your soul tonight? Well, if you would, I would like to help you pray. Right there where you are in your seat, you don't have to buy anything. You don't have to sign anything. You don't have to pay for anything. You don't have to join anything. I'm trying to give you the greatest gift that was ever given. You know why we give gifts? We give gifts at Christmas. You know why? In honor of the fact that God gave us the greatest gift that could ever be given to a human being when he gave us his Son. Now, would you like to receive the Savior? If you would like to ask Jesus to save you, right there in your seat, I want you to pray with me. Just pray with me right now where you're seated. And just pray this little prayer. You're not praying to me now, you're praying to God. And you just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner. And that as a sinner, I need a Savior. And so right now, by faith, I call upon the Lord Jesus and ask the Lord Jesus to save my soul. Father, I believe what the Bible says about the Savior, that he came and he died and he was buried and he came out of that grave on the third day victorious over sin and death. And now I receive him as my Savior. I repent of my sin and give my heart to you. And thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, please. If you prayed that prayer with me tonight and you meant it, would you just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it so I can rejoice with you? Just lift your hand and hold it up. Yes, God bless you and God bless you and God bless you. Amen. And God bless you. Yes. Are there others? Just hold your hand up where I can see it. Preacher, I prayed with you and asked Jesus to save me. How about up in the balcony? Pastor, I prayed with you. All right, Father in heaven, thank you so much for precious souls who called upon your name and asked you to be their Savior. And Father, this is what Christmas is all about. Coming to the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And I just pray that you'll bless these folks and help them, Father, now to grow and to fully understand what you did for them. And Father, I pray that you'll help folks here tonight to just thank you for what you did for them. You went to the cross. You died. They took you down from the cross and buried you in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, just as you said, you came out of that grave. And Paul said, that's the gospel. That's what's in God's word. And so, Father, bless the gospel to these hearts who prayed with me tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for all your blessing. In Christ's name, amen.